Shavua Tov, Agud Tevach, Agud Chodesh to all. Thank you for coming. This is new for us. We've launched something two months ago. This is the second one. We skipped the month of Nisan, but we're hopefully going to create something very, very beautiful and special for women in Los Angeles. And that is, we know Rosh Chodesh is a day for women, and we'd like to make something exciting, insightful, interesting, and the time for women to really shine and make their talents and contributions, or to contribute of their specialty to the Jewish community. Welcome you all here. And the other thing is that if anybody has, the idea is to have a Rosh Chodesh gathering on Rosh Chodesh or a day close to Rosh Chodesh, in which, again, sometimes there is a class or a talk, but it's more than classes and talks. It should be something that will involve all different kinds of talent in terms of art and music and any type of art, from cooking to design to poetry to writing, all kind of art. And it would be nice. Again, I'm kind of busy and a little bit limited in ideas, even though I'm sometimes a little creative. But it would be great if you, in the audience, I'm reaching out to everyone. We're looking for every month to create something related to the month, something related to that Chodesh. This month, the month of Iyar, is a month of healing. Ani Hashem Rofecha is Iyar. So we chose something, and it's in the Sfira, so music cannot be during the Sfira, but instead we're going to hear the music of healing, Ani Hashem, the art of healing. Ani Hashem Rofecha, both on a more spiritual level, the healing of the soul, and then the healing of the body, in terms of body and soul going together. What we're trying to reach out is to all of you, if you can please think, come up with ideas, think, it doesn't have to be, next month, the month after. We want to recreate and innovate every single month with something really interesting, exciting, and meaningful. So another thing we're looking for is sponsorships for these events. Tonight's event has been sponsored by Milano Wigs, and it has also been sponsored by the Landau and Weiss, my wife's family, in honor of a yard site of our grandmother, my wife's grandmother, Tzipra Chaya Bas Rabbi Yekusiel Yehuda. So without further ado, I'd like to call up a very close friend of our family. We know her as Dr. Nancy. She's our doctor for all of our children, and we drive her crazy all the time. When she's in SeaWorld, she gets calls from me, and she knows she has to answer them, because my calls she answers all the time. We had like 4 calls over Pesach, from a tick on someone's back to, all kinds of weird things that happen over Yantiv. But Dr. Nancy is always available. So thank you, and it's an honor. It's a great honor having you here and sharing, and people are very excited to hear you. So it's a very big, I know this is not something that she's used to doing, so just make her feel comfortable. Thank you. Good.
So before I start my talk, I wanted to talk about Bobby Landau, who was his wife's grandmother. Anyway, she called herself the Bobbitson. And she was one of the happiest people you would ever meet in your entire life. When she was born, her mother passed away at giving birth to her. So her name was Tzipra, but they called her something else. They named her after her mother, but didn't want to call her by her mother's exact. They called her something else because it was so sad. Then she went through the Holocaust, and in the camps, she was very talented with her hands, and she took a potato peel or something, and she made it into the shape of something, and so the soldiers saw her, the Nazis, and they said, wait, let me see what you did. And then she showed them, and so they liked it so much that they took her and gave her potatoes all the time to carve. She made like little ballerinas, all these different things. And then she saved all the peelings and got food for a lot of other people. And she said that she used to be in the camps, and the women would be crying, you know, on the barracks, like crying at night, and she'd make a sound of a little baby or something, and everybody would go, oh, there's a baby, there's a baby. And then they'd look, and it was her making the sound, and they'd all start to laugh. And she just was the kind of person. She had many, many, many hardships in her life, and she was the happiest person I ever met. And it's just a unique thing in life that I don't know about you guys, but you meet people, and the happiest people are not the people with the easiest lives. It's just the weirdest thing. They've gone through more often than not horrendous things in their life, and they're the happiest people. So it just shows, like, Hashem gives people tests, and it's just how we persevere and how we deal with it. So anyway, so that's make a L'chaim de Babi, special woman. And the interesting thing is her yahrzeit was on Friday, which is the when you do the schlitzel, the key in the challah. So I was making challah, and Babi taught me how to make the braided round challahs for Rosh Hashanah. So whenever I do it, I see her hands. She had these strong hands in her making the challahs, and she was doing it with me. And so it's amazing that her yahrzeit's on the day when everybody's making challahs, putting their keys in it. So anyway, just now talking about the body, good things always make you feel better, speaking of body things. But anyway, I got into medicine because I loved people, and I thought it was so amazing how the human body works. It's so unbelievable. If you study any part of it, it's just amazing. So my holistic approach is more finding ways to boost the body to heal itself instead of most of what I've been trained to use are suppressive agents. And so that's kind of my more holistic approach. But I use traditional as well. And anyway, so going into things, I thought I would talk about healthy mental diet, healthy physical diet. The physical diet, anybody in here who's ever dealt with issues of weight, you know, wanting to lose weight, except for the skinny people in here who we do not talk to. But we still love you, but anyway. So everybody knows about diets. I'm not going to talk about diets. I'll basically say that, you know, we all know we should eat 3 meals a day, and most people who are overweight more often than not don't eat breakfast, so it's important to eat breakfast. Breakfast and lunch are our two most important meals. And fruits and vegetables are really important to eat. And if you want to lose weight, just cut out the white flour, white sugar foods, which are the best tasting foods. Why Hashem did that, I don't know. So if we do, so those are the basic things about health. When we eat food, it's an amazing thing that we Jews have. Not only do we eat the food and the food becomes part of our body, you know, it gets broken down and we get all the proteins, amino acids, everything that needs to build your actual physical body, but also when we say a bracha on the apple or whatever we eat, it brings out this spark that Hannah Rachel will talk about. And then we get this special extra spark that goes to light our neshama as well. And then on top of that, we have these brachas to say after we go to the bathroom. So after our body utilizes it all and then gets rid of it, we have this bracha. And I learned this beautiful thing when you say Asha Yatzar, to not move your feet. You can move your hands, you can do anything, but you don't move your feet. Because when we sang the bracha, thank you, like it is so amazing. If your intestines are blocked, you vomit, you can't get any nutrients in. It's awful. If you have malabsorption, problems with your intestines that they don't absorb well, you can't get the nutrients. It's so amazing when it works well. And 70% of our immune system's in our intestines. So when we do all these antibiotics, it kind of makes it a little harder for the body to keep its normal balance. So probiotics are good too. And then when we go, we urinate. I mean, the fact that we can drink fluids and get rid of them, and we have all these millions of little nephrons in our kidneys that they work, is like the most amazing thing. So when we say that bracha to say thank you, if you stop yourself, we're all a little busy, and everybody's busy, and so if you're moving while you're saying it, it's just hard to be in the moment. We're all very busy these days. It's just being busier and busier. So if you stop your feet, you can stop for a moment, and you can even after you say the bracha, just say, you know, thank you, Hashem, how amazing is this thing? It's like really incredible. And then there's breath. Now, I was hyperventilating coming here, speaking. But I have this whole little thing about breathing, and if anybody's heard it, just I think it's just a great thing. But when we breathe, you know, on the physiological level, we're breathing in this oxygen with hopefully not too many other junky stuff. And then our body takes the oxygen, and then we breathe out this carbon dioxide. But I think what we're also doing is Hashem breathed a soul into us. So we're breathing in this love from Hashem. And most of us, most people, breathe very shallowly. And when in my office, when I have people breathe, these are kids, by the third breath, they're getting a little dizzy because they're hyperventilating because we're not used to breathing deeply. And so I think because we're walking around so nervous that if we don't do blah, 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 it's not going to happen. And it's very easy to trust in Hashem when things are good. Allah, Hashem's there. It's a wonderful, wonderful. But when it's not, when you have a problem with somebody's illness or with finding a shidduch or having a child or a problem with your child when you have them, any of these things, we get so anxious and nervous, like, oh, this isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then we all tense up and we don't breathe. And so what happens when we go through a stressful event and then you finally relax? You can just go, oh. And in that moment of, oh, you relax. And it's almost like we're out on the ocean now bobbing around like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But we're anchored to Hashem. And then all of a sudden you go, oh. And you go, so how can we be in that oh place all the time without having to flounder around? That's the thing. What happens when we get so stressed? So the body it's the sympathetic nervous system puts out all this adrenaline. It's the fight or flight. It's to notify the body that there's a stress event happening. Pay attention. You need to be aware. So the heart rate, the pulse goes up. The blood pressure goes up. The body stops digesting well because it needs to be running. The muscles tense. It's all ready. And the body's putting out these stomach acids. So it's all this. Now, if there's an actual emergency, it's a very good response. But if it's not an emergency and it's happening all the time, we get things like hypertension, ulcers, headaches, and all these things. And the breathing techniques, I'll teach you a little one at the end, but what deep breathing does is it stimulates what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, which is they call it the fat and happy nervous system. So that part with deep breathing, it slows down the blood, the pulse, and the blood pressure goes down, and the muscles relax and everything. So that's what we're trying to find how we can do that. And Rabbi Pliskin, people know him, he talks about how, I mean, it's amazing between our two ears, this small space, the amazing world of fear and anxiety and all that can be created. And he says what you do is you take, if you're anxious about something, you stop yourself and you say, okay, there's a table here, there's a wall there. Now, bring yourself back to here, the room, and say, is there something dangerous here now? And if there is, you deal with it. And if there is not, you just tell, you start doing your breathing, and you let go, and you know, okay, Hashem is here. The subconscious mind is unbelievable. That's the part when people get hypnotized. They're talking to the subconscious mind. It takes everything as real. So whatever we say, it takes as real. So if we say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to find this, or I'm never going to get this, or this is never going to happen, or I'm going to get sick because of him, I say, yeah, uh-huh, you are. Because your subconscious goes, you're right. And it goes, okay, that's what we're going to do. But if you say, you know, I think it was Rabbi Pliskin, if you start out your morning, it's a beautiful thing after you say Modani, and you say, I won the lottery. I won the lottery. Like, how would you feel waking up in the morning? You won the lottery. Or you say, I just say, and this is going to be the most amazing day today. Doesn't matter what you're thinking, what else. Just say it. This is going to be the most glorious, that's a new word I got, glorious day, or it's the most beautiful day, wonderful day. And guess what? Just say it, even if you don't feel it, it will start it to happen. So in the midst of whatever test Hashem is giving us, we might as well try. It doesn't hurt. And then, so then there's, anybody heard of Dr. Sarno? So he is a rehab doctor who dealt with a lot of people with chronic back pain, chronic headaches, ulcers, stomach aches. And he realized it was all interrelated. And his basic theory is that when we have a stressful event happen, it's not usually socially acceptable to say what we think at that or feel at that moment, so we sublimate it. But the subconscious mind heard it and says, okay, it needs to be expressed. So it expresses it in a physical form. He thinks it actually causes a constriction of blood vessels to an area, and then you get pain in that area. So his whole thing is to teach yourself that I know I might be stressed about blah, 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 but it does not belong in my body. And so, and then I add on, Hashem gave it to me. It's just growing pains, and that's how I'm going to look at it. And if you think about it intellectually, unless there's an actual physical stressful event at this moment, there's no benefit for stress going into your body. It's just not. It doesn't do anything good. So we might as well train our subconscious, don't let it in there, because it's not a benefit. So you can say, I know I'm stressed. I know this is stressful, yes. You know, whether people believe it or not, is it stressful. But it doesn't go anywhere in my body. And then I have my mentor in my life, who's now Kanainahara, 97, and he still travels the world. And he has this whole thing about healthy mental diet. And what he does is he says, he calls his body his dumb servant. Now, I call it my wonderful vessel. But anyway, and he says, if you were the president of a corporation and you had hundreds of people working for you, and let's say there were financial problems, would you share that information with all those people? Are they going to work the best that way? Or are you going to make nice and make them feel really comfortable and safe? No, you're going to make them feel comfortable and safe. Then they work more efficiently. And I think the body's the same way. We let all of that junk in. It does not help. It does not help. So Hashem gives us challenges. We have to work through them. But if we can find the way to do it and breathe through it and just say, this doesn't belong in my body. I have to tell you an interesting thing. I used to jog years ago, like 4 miles a day, and I love running. And now I walk briskly with my girlfriends. But like 6 months ago, I tried running again. And I started to run, and I got like the worst spasm in my neck. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. I have to do my brisk walking. Then I decided to apply Sarno to my running. And when I went running, months later, because I stopped for a long time, and when I went running, and anything I could think, because when you run, when you do anything, your mind sometimes goes to negative things. Mine does. Okay, so then every time I was running, and when I was breathing out, because I was breathing heavy, because I'm really not in the best shape. So I was breathing out, and every time I breathed out, I was breathing out any anger, irritation, fear, doubt, worry was all going on in my exhalation. And every time I breathed in, I was breathing in all this love and comfort and joy. And I got no more neck pains. So I'm just letting it know. It just can really, really, really help. So anyway, I just want to do a quick breathing technique. Before we do it, I would just like you all to take a second. So they say, Rabbi Wolf says, you know, we're all just one with Hashem, right? We're all just one, and we think there's separation, but there really isn't. So just stop for a minute, close your eyes for a second, and just feel the love that's in this room with women and the world. And that's the love. And, you know, they say that there's malachim around us and our family that's not here anymore around us. There's so much love surrounding, plus Hashem is everywhere. But that's how much love is always around us, plus all of our women friends and our family and everybody. So now what I want to do is we're going to do a little breathing technique. And it's a beautiful thing. I heard it from a rabbi who was visiting from Israel. And it's a great thing to do before davening. And it only takes like 4 minutes. You need things that take 4 minutes. Because this way, if you can slow yourself down, it's also a great thing for anybody who gets very anxious and sometimes you feel like you can't even breathe because you're just so worried about something. If you do it twice a day, 4 minutes twice a day, then when you start to get anxious, you can stop and breathe, do your little breathing thing, and it'll calm you down. We have a very weird life right now where we're human doings more than beings. I don't know if anybody has an iPhone here, but anyway, these phones, it's like impossible to have any space to yourself anymore. And if you don't have that, you have this, that, or the other. It's like we don't have time to stop. My friend's son just got married, and the mother-in-law of the bride's mother for 50 years has a thing. When she and her husband sit down to dinner, she takes the phone off the hook. Like, what a brilliant thing. She gives them the space. We don't have a space in our cars anymore. You know, and it's just a crazy time. So if we can retrain ourselves how to kind of quiet the space, it's a great thing. Okay. So anyway, so the breathing thing we're going to do, he taught me to do it in count of 10, but we're just going to do it 5. Just, you'll get the idea of it. So the first one, we're going to just breathe. Everybody will just close their eyes and put their hands to their side. And you'll breathe in and out, count 1. I'll be counting for you, in and out 2, in and out 3 to 5. And the second one is going to be count 1, in and out, 2, in and out, 3, in and out, 4, 5. The third one, when you breathe in, feel the sensation in your neck when you're breathing in. So you just focus on that sensation in your neck to the count of 5. And then the last one, when you breathe out through your nose, and you'll feel the little kind of tingling sensation on your upper lip, and focus on that. So we're going to do count of 5 to each one. And after that, open your eyes, and then feel the love again that you feel in the room. And we'll see, and then we'll be, I'm going to give the whole thing. And then you'll be so receptive to the beautiful talk Hannah Rachel is going to give us to take us even higher. Okay, so everyone close your eyes and put your arms to your side. Okay, and so just start just taking nice relaxed breaths in and out and in and out. Okay, so in and out, 1, in and out, 2, in and out, 3, in and out, 4, in and out, 5, in and out, 6. Okay, now you're going to do 1, in and out, 2, in and out, 3, in and out, 4, in and out, 5, in and out. Now you're going to focus on the sensation in your neck. 1, in, and an exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. And now feel the sensation on your upper lip when you breathe out through your nose. Inhale and exhale. 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 And just slowly open your eyes and feel the love that's surrounding all of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nancy. That was great. And Hannah Rachel Schusterman, who is an amazing friend and mashpia and inspiration to all of us. And the spheres are her specialty, right? She really likes teaching about the spheres. And I've learned the spheres through her, so I'd love to hear her again. So, Hannah Rachel, it's all yours.
Thank you. So, Shavua Tov and Chodesh Tov. It's great to be with women. It's great to be at Mayan Yisrael. It's really wonderful. It's true that I really do love Sfiras HaOmer. It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing mitzvah. And so let me talk just a bit about what it is. And then I want to go through the Sfira that we're working on so that it can help us to understand what we're actually accomplishing. So in Pesach, Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim. And what does this mean? So we know that Mitzrayim, Egypt, means narrow places. And Hashem literally took our people out of Egypt and brought our people forward on the way to Har Sinai. So we know that the people had been slaves for so long that even though they became free, that there was a slavery on the inside that was hard to get rid of. The purpose of taking us out of Egypt was to bring us to Har Sinai to give us the Torah. Now, it's interesting when you think about, in Chassidus, we talk about what is Egypt, and we think about the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh, in a certain way, represents exaggerated ego. And being in exile means, and everyone has this inner exile, that an inner exile means that a person has their limitations, their habits, their places where they're stuck, and they don't know how to move forward. So I learned an interesting definition of what freedom is that I find very helpful, because sometimes after the Seder, I used to say to myself, well, did I do it? Did I get out? Am I out? Am I free? Is it okay? And that used to make me nervous because I couldn't for sure tell if I was free or not. And later on, I found out that what it really is that when Hashem takes us out, that He is giving us the ability to transcend continually. That's a very amazing definition of freedom, that Hashem is giving us the ability to transcend continually. So what that means is that once we were taken out of Egypt, we are always free. And we are free. But what that freedom means is that freedom is not static. Freedom doesn't mean, okay, so now I'm free. So I'll just sit here being free, because I'm really free, you know? Free. That doesn't get us anywhere in a certain way, because what we have to remember is that we have a purpose in life. We're here to bring godliness into the world, to make it clear that this world is an expression of Hashem and connect everything to the source. When we drink a cup of tea and we recognize that this tea, these very tea leaves come from Hashem, and we say a bracha, we're connecting the tea to its source. And it's not just the tea, it's where we are and who gave us the tea and where the tea leaves grew and all of that. We're elevating everything to its source. So it's a big job to do in this world. But when we're stuck, it's hard to do anything because we're focused on ourselves. But because we have been taken out of Egypt and we have this freedom, so we are able to continually transcend. As we know that what Hashem said to Avram Avinu, go out of your habits, go out of your places where you're stuck, from the community, from your father and mother, from your own habits. And this is what we're able to do, to go forward continually. So we're going out of this ego place toward the place where we are able to stand before Hashem at Har Sinai, to be in Hashem's presence to receive the Torah. And ultimately the purpose is to really stand in Hashem's presence all the time with the Beis HaMikdash HaBenuyah, and that's where we're heading. So how do we do this? So to go from this place of becoming free to getting out of Egypt, to be able to continue to transcend continually, means that we have to grow from that concept of slavery to go to freedom. And, you know, somebody who is worried about whatever, the bills, everybody should have what everybody needs in every way, begashmius and baruchnius. And then they find out they won the lottery, and they suddenly are multimillionaires. They're not going to do anything different for quite a while, because they don't think of themselves differently. Where's the money? I don't know, in the bank, but they don't know how to make the change. And this is with everything. It takes a while to integrate. So Hashem, in His kindness, gives us this wonderful mitzvah of counting Sfiras HaOmer, which helps us to go from step to step to integrate the changes. So we all know that in every Siddur, it actually says which sphere we're going through. We're going through the seven emotional spheres. And it says, Chesed, Shebechesed, Gevura, Shebechesed, Tiferet, Shebechesed. And we're counting each of the days for 49 days until we get to the 50th day, which is actually Shavuos. For many people would like to know more about what is this Chesed Shebechesed? What is this Gevura Shebechesed? What is this Teferet Shebechesed? And how do you work it out? So what I would like to do tonight is to go through each of these spheres and then to talk just a little bit what it means to integrate them. Okay? So everybody has a chart in front of you. And you'll see this is the chart of the spheres. And in a certain way, the spheres are the picture of how Hashem creates. When it says that we are made in the image of God, that we have both, we have essence, which is the essence of our soul, and then we have bodies and the ability to accomplish in this world. And this is actually the picture of how Hashem does in the world. And the top, Keter is considered above the head. Chachma, Bina, and Das are considered to be the head. And then, if you fold it back, you'll see that starting from Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut is what we're working on in counting the spheres. I'll just mention that Chesed is comparable to the right arm. Gevura is comparable to the left arm. Tiferet is the torso. Netzach is the right hip and the right leg. Hod is the left hip and the right and the left leg. Yesod is the organ of the bris. And Malchus has several definitions, either the feet, what you're standing on, or the mouth. We'll talk about that a little more later on. In other words, each of these are represented by a part of the body. And as we know, the body is meant to move together. So we move, you know, the right arm and the left arm, we're walking, we're talking, we're doing, moving a whole body. So in a certain way, we need to bring Hashem's expression all the way through, from above to below. And now what we're working on is clarifying our emotional attributes. So the emotional attributes start with chesed. So let me talk about each of them and what they mean, and then talk about how to inter-include them. Okay, so chesed, as we know, is loving kindness. Now you'll see in the chart that the chart says chesed and defines it as kindness. Under that, chasidus talks, see, Kabbalah utilizes the words chesed, gevura, teferet, netzach, hod, yesod, and malchut. And these are considered to be expressions of Hashem. Chasidus talks about what we feel on the inside when we are utilizing one of these spheres. So you'll see under it, it says, where it says chesed, under it in smaller print, it says ahava. And under that, you'll see it says Avraham. And you'll see that each of these has one of the seven shepherds, as we talk about, that are representing or epitomizing each of these. Okay. So chesed, and I'll talk about the outside and the inner quality. So chesed is loving kindness. What does that really mean? Chesed is an expansive force that a person wants to give and give unconditionally. Chesed means yes. It's where we're altruistic, where we just want to give. And what do we feel when we are giving? We feel love. It's actually interesting that, you know, when I'm speaking about marriage or dating, it's a given that What does it mean to love? And by the way, to love is a verb, unlike the way people speak about it in America, where you like fall in love. It's some, they make that sound like it's some kind of hole you fall into. But love is a verb. That means it's something we do. It's an action we do. So giving is loving. The Rebbe once told somebody, a bacher wrote to the Rebbe, that he was in a yeshiva, but he had gone without a chavrusa, and he was all by himself, and he was feeling very lonely. And the Rebbe instructed him that when he was at the lunch table and he would go to get an extra piece of bread or another cup of water, that he should ask the person next to him, would you like another piece of bread? Would you like a cup of water? And then the person would say, yeah, sure, I'd like a cup of water. Why not? Yeah, thanks for asking. And then he would go, and by giving it, he would have a feeling of love for the person. And the person, through recognizing that there was now a bond in the giving, would also feel love, and they would become friends. So this is something where we want, it's simple, where we want to increase the feeling of loving. The way that we do it is by increasing giving. This is, in a certain way, the most obvious. It's also the basic of all of the midot comes from love. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that when people ask, why did God make the world? There are many reasons. The one that we talk about in Chabad the most is that Hashem wants to make a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place where Hashem is known and welcomed in this world. One of the other reasons that's spoken about is because God wanted to give. Because he is kind and wants to give. God is good and wants to give. So we are meant, by the way, to emulate God's character traits. So we see it says Avraham. Avraham was known for emulating God's character trait of love. And this is something we are also here to do. So in the week, in the first week of counting Sfiras HaOmer, the whole week is working on this concept of, on this midah of chesed. And the way it's done, just to say simply, is the first day is chesed of chesed. The second day is gevurah of chesed. You'll see that's the next one across from it. The third one is teferet of chesed. Then the fourth one is netzach of chesed. And we go through the whole list until we start with chesed of gevurah. We always start with chesed. Chesed of gevurah, gevurah of gevurah, teferet of gevurah. Right now, on this day, we just counted tonight chesed of teferet. That's how we begin teferet. Now, you have to understand that each of these in Hashem's doing are forces of creativity. And we need to have each and every one of these in ourselves. So even though a person, and it's interesting because some people are yes people, like chesed people by nature. Other people are gevurah people, they're no people by nature. But we have to be balanced. You know, gevurah is where it's all. So gevurah is might, and it's the ability to say no. It's boundaries. It's awe. Recognizing, for example, in love, we talk about loving Hashem, and we talk about having awe of Hashem, fearing Hashem. That, and we need to have both. And Sefer Tanya said that these two, which are the right arm and the left arm, are called the wings of the service. That in order to serve Hashem properly, we need to have both love and awe. So in awe, what this is doing, and it's very important as well, equally important. See, in chesed, there are no boundaries. In chesed, somebody just says, I love you all, this is great. It's true. At the same time, there comes a point that you have to go home by yourself. You know, that's gevurah. You know, I still have to have my boundaries. I have to have my individuality. This is where we keep individual integrity, where somebody says, could somebody? And somebody says, yes, I could. In other words, a sense of, this is the right thing for me to do. So this is the ability to have restraint and hold back in order to do the right thing. So it takes power and might and a sense of individuality, where we need to have both. Now, on the level, on this level, yet chesed generally means, of course, I want to do this for you, yes. Gevura means, just a second, I have to think if I can do it. Is this the right thing for me to do? Now, I have to say, it's fascinating that everybody is made so uniquely that there are people who have a strong chesed component, even though we all have all of this. Other people have a strong gevura component. You know how there are people who you say, can I get a ride home? And some people will say, yes. They don't even ask you where you live. It's true. It's a chesed type. Yes. And then they'll say, well, where do you live? I live, as my parents used to say, Ekvelt. And they could say, actually, but they'll try to help you find somebody else who can take you, who's going in that direction, because they want to say yes by their nature. I always learn a lot in Israel, and very often in taxis. Taxi drivers in Israel are very colorful people. I remember once being in a taxi, and somebody called the taxi driver, and it was his wife. She knew him well. So she said, I need to go to so-and-so place. Do you think you could pick me up? And he immediately said, no. But she knew him. So she knew he didn't mean no. It's just his type is that he begins with no. There are people who begin with yes, and there are people who begin with no. See, the person who said, yes, I'll take you, wound up saying, that's a little far from me. Maybe I could help you get a ride. And the person, so he said, no. So she said, it's no problem. I'm listening to this whole thing in the back of the taxi. It's no problem. I'll just take a taxi. And he said, no. Don't take a taxi. Just stay there. I'm coming to get you. And I thought, oh, that was very interesting. I see how she did that. Because she knew him. Okay. Now, the truth is that we have to be able to say yes and to be able to say no, because it's like driving to the right, remember chesed is right, and driving to the left, which is no. In other words, we have to be able to go right and to go left. We have to be able to do both. Otherwise, what happens is we're going in circles all the time and not getting any place. So yes means this is the right thing to do. I want to do it. I know I want to do it. I just want to give it. Gevura means, just a minute here, it's not such a good idea. Hold back. Keep the boundaries. And besides, I know why I should not do this. Because it's not a good idea. Okay, so we have to be able to do both. As you can tell, for example, sometimes, like a child asks you for a lollipop, and you say, yes. And then they ask you for another lollipop. And you say, sure. And at a certain point, I remember saying to the children once, you know, the easiest thing to say is yes. It's very hard to say no, but because I love you, I have to say no sometimes. Like, you already had two lollipops, I have to say no. Why am I saying no? Because there have to be boundaries. There has to be integrity. It has to work correctly. So that's where we say no, and we see that Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak was the one who embodied this. He stayed in Eretz Yisrael the whole time. His job wasn't out there, it was more inner. The third one that we have on the center line, you'll see that they go in triangles. Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet are like a triangle. And the third point, Tiferet, goes further down. And it goes further along. Tiferet is, the word means beauty. Now, it does not mean, there are a number of words in Hebrew for beauty. Pe'er is the word for the beauty that is made of a number of colors together that is harmonious. So a bouquet of red roses is beautiful, but it's not pe'er. Pe'er is one of these bouquets that has many different kinds of flowers and many different kinds of colors. Because Tiferet is harmonious, in what it is. It's the power, it's a power that is harmonious, and on the inner qualities, it's so important to understand this, it's rachamim, mercy. Now I want you to see, notice, that Tiferet is not halfway between Chesed and Gevura. It's a further development. That's why it's a triangular point going further. So this is Tiferet. So this means that this is like a discriminating compassion. What does that mean? I want to say yes is Chesed. Of course, certainly. Gevura is, this is not a good idea, I can't do that, or it's not the right thing for me to do. Or, you know, I don't think this is exactly what Hashem wants, or I know this isn't right for my family, or whatever we do to keep the boundaries. Tiferet is such an amazing, helpful midah, practical. This is where we have discrimination. Now, it's very interesting. According to Kabbalah, even though we see it right in the middle, it's considered to be going a little toward the right. In other words, I know that I want to say yes to what you're asking me. I know why I should say no. And Tiferet is the third merciful, beautiful point of coming up with a harmonious solution in which both, I know why I want to say yes, I know why I should say no, and I come up with something that works. Two examples in the practical level would be with the lollipop. We say, yes, sure, have a lollipop, absolutely. Gevura is, no, sorry, you already had a lollipop, I can't give you a lollipop now. Tiferet is, you see this beautiful lollipop? This is for you. And I'm going to put it right up here next to the vase, and it's your lollipop for Shabbos. And I want you to come and tell me on Shabbos, could I have my lollipop? Because it's sitting right up here. So what did you just do? Did you say yes? Kind of. Did you say no? Kind of. You found a beautiful solution. The lollipop belongs to them, but not now. At the right time, in other words, there's a compassion that you understand. The child wants you to say, yes, you're giving. But you know it's not the right thing to do it now. So you find a solution that works. Also, in terms of practicality, people have a habit of thinking in a black and white way, yes or no. Tiferet, the concept, the meat of Tiferet is so practical. Somebody comes and says, I'd like to stay with you for a week. And you're thinking, I just washed the sheets from Pesach. A week seems like a very long time. Besides, I'm back to teaching and I'm back to doing a whole week. I can't drive you around. So the first thought is, yes, of course, come for a week. I'd love to have you. The second one is, oh, no, I don't think I could do this. It's going to take too much. I can't cook for people, breakfast, lunch, supper, and start this again. You know what Tiferet is? Tiferet is just a second. What could I do? I could let her come. I could let her stay. I can't make breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I could leave her breakfast food. I can't drive her all over the place. But, you know, I could make the space for her. She could eat with us Shabbos. And once in a while, she could eat during the week. The rest of the time, I just can't. So the Tiferet is a beautiful solution. It's saying, what is the beautiful yes? And what is the no? How can I go forward? And you say, you know, I'd love to have you. You are definitely welcome. But these days I go out, I'm teaching, I can't offer you my car, and I can't cook for you. And she said, I didn't even mean that. I didn't even mean that. I wanted to come because my friend's getting married. It'll make it so easy. I just want to stay with you. I'll rent my own car. And you know what? You find a beautiful solution. It doesn't have to be yes or no. And this is where the rachamim is, where you understand what she needs and you give in the way that you can. And this is merciful and harmonious. And it's a further development. It's not limited. And it's interesting where, you know, we see that this is Yaakov. And Yaakov, all of his sons merited to be Jews, because it's balanced, it's whole, it's beautiful. That's what it means to be in the center line. Okay. Now we're going to look at the next triangle, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. And I have to say about the first triangle that the first triangle are the basic emotions that we feel. In other words, we feel love, we feel awe or fear, and we feel compassion. These feelings need to go forward in action. For example, you know, you come up with a mitzvah, I would love to visit my mother, but I really just took off from work. It's a little hard to do it right now. But I, you know, my mother needs my visit. I have to figure out a way to make this happen. That's the compassion. Okay, this is all on the feeling level. But how are we going to bring it out into reality so you're really going someplace? So remember we said that Netzach is the right hip and the right leg, and Hod is the left hip and the left leg. In other words, in the next triangle, and we said Yesod is the organ of the bris, so in other words, we're going forward. In Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, there is going to be bringing it forward into where we're getting ready to make something happen in the world. So what is Netzach? Netzach means victory. And it is the quality of endurance and determination. In Netzach, we're going forward. We are going to make this happen. In other words, I want to visit my mother. It's all a good idea. Finally, I got down to, wait a minute, I'm really going to do something about this. I need to do it. I figured out I want to, not now, soon, but got to make it happen. This is Netzach. This is fascinating because this perseverance, this endurance, and this determination to go forward into constructive action, how is this going to happen? What is fascinating and counterintuitive, if you look at the inner quality of Netzach, it's bitachon. And we see it's the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, remember in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't want to do this. Hashem said, you are going, you are on. And Moshe said, what, me? I don't think so. And Hashem insisted. But when Moshe started to go forward, he really did it. What was the quality that helped him to be victorious and make everything happen? That the inner quality is bitachon, trust in Hashem. Hashem says to us, just go forward and I will help you. We see this with Shvi'a Shel Pesach, going across the Red Sea. Take the steps and make it happen. There's a story, there were some wealthy Hasidim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rebbe, there was a certain project that the Rebbe wanted to happen, and he said to these people, get together and figure out and make this happen. So they got together, and they told Rabbi Groner afterwards, oy vey, we didn't do anything, we couldn't figure this out, this looked too hard. And Rabbi Groner went into the Rebbe, and they said, and please don't tell the Rebbe. So Rabbi Groner went in, and he kind of was like not looking at the Rebbe, you know, come on, how does that work? And the Rebbe said, I see from this that they didn't do anything. And listen to what the Rebbe said. Now remember that Netzach is the right leg. He said, the Rebbe said, if they had only taken the first step, they would have been able to accomplish it. Because when we take the first step, Hashem helps us. You think about it. If somebody thought, how am I going to raise this child? You know, as soon as the child is born, they'd be sitting there going like, they wouldn't even take the child home. Because it looks very complicated. Till I get the child to the chuppah, I'm going to get the child here from here to the chuppah. That's a very, you know what? Give the child something to eat right now. That's it. Then we're going to deal with the diaper. Then we're going to go for one step at a time, and we have the bitachon that Hashem will help us to accomplish what we will accomplish. I'm going to come back to that example a little bit later. Okay, so here when we have this trust, it gives us also a confidence that Hashem is with us, and it helps us to move forward. Now, what's very interesting is that Hod, which is right across from Netzach, is a partner to Netzach in a different way than Chesed and Gevurah, even though they're right under it. Chesed and Gevurah are the two arms. I can do one thing with one arm and do totally another thing with the other arm. They're not, they can be used separately. You hold the phone with one hand and you mix something with the other hand. But Netzach and Hod are how we walk, and they go in tandem. You can't walk with one leg and then dance with the other. You have to, there has to be a kind of an agreement here between Netzach and Hod that they're on the same page. So it's very interesting to see how they work together. Hod means majesty. It also means acknowledgement. The first word that we say in the day, modeh, modeh ani, I'm acknowledging that I'm in your presence, Hashem. Modeh, we don't even say ani, modeh. It's modeh, ani, lefanecha. The acknowledgement is the first word that we say. What are we acknowledging? Hashem. We're acknowledging Hashem, and this acknowledgement, the word todah, modeh, all these words that have to do with admitting the truth, acknowledging, are all Hod words. It also has to do with radiance, because we are, when we're acknowledging Hashem's presence, we are in the radiance of Hashem. Now, this quality, now you'll see that, okay, what are the qualities and how does this work? You see that Netzach is Moshe, and Hod is Aaron, and they work together. Okay, so this quality of Hod is the quality of commitment. In other words, the quality of Netzach is perseverance, endurance. I decided I'm going to make this happen. But Hod is like empathy, encouragement, devotion. You know how it works with walking? That when one leg is going forward, the other leg is stable and helping to transfer the weight. So the Netzach leg is the leg that's moving forward, and the Hod is the left leg or the other leg that is being supportive, having the devotion. You want to go there? I'm going to support you in doing this. In some ways, it's like a husband and wife. Or in one person, for example, a person decides they want to think of something, you know, go on a diet. So Netzach says, I'm going to do this. I can do this. This is healthy for me. I'm going to make this happen. And then Hod says, good, good. Let's do that. I'm in favor of this. I will support this. And then Netzach slips up and eats something it shouldn't have eaten. And Hod will say something like, it's okay, that's normal. Don't get upset about it, just continue. So it's a supportive, empathetic, the commitment continues. So this commitment is in Hod. Now, it's interesting that the inner quality of Hod is tamimut. Tamimut is just simplicity. Simplicity in the present. Just don't get complicated. You want to accomplish this, we could accomplish it. We're going forward. It's going to be fine. Now, the next quality, which again is in the middle. Okay, so this endurance, this determination is balanced by the commitment to do it. Hod is much more gentle. You know, we always talk about Moshe and Aaron and Moshe going forward with strength and Aaron being supportive. And that's how these qualities are. The next one is Yesod. Yesod is very interesting. Yesod means foundation. Now, this is, Malchus is a little bit different. We're going to get to Malchus in a minute. You know, in some ways, there is a parallel here to the 6 days of the week. Chesed is Sunday. You know, actually, in this particular year of counting the Omer, it is in the most natural, harmonious way, because Sunday is Chesed. We just counted tonight, Motzei Shabbos for Sunday is Chesed of Tiferet. And Monday is going to be Gevurah. Sunday is always Chesed, Monday is always Gevurah, Tiferet is always Tuesday, Netzach is Wednesday, Hod is Thursday, and Yesod is Friday. Friday is the day, a lot of what Friday is about is getting ready to go into Shabbos. So what Yesod does is it takes all the midas that came before and is getting ready to bring them down into reality. So we said Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet are where we have the feelings about it. Netzach is where we made our mind up, we're really going to do it, and we start taking steps. So in the visiting your mother, we start to really go online and look at what's possible and ask her what's good for her, and we're going to make it happen. And Hod is, we're being supportive of this, you know, checking, can I get off from work? Will everything work out fine? Supporting it. And Yesod is, I'm really about to push that button to make it happen. Because in Yiddish, it's called Übergegebenheit. You are dedicated to it. You're going to make this move forward. Here is where all the other midos come into a togetherness that's going to move forward into reality. So this is where we get really ready to do it. All the forces are coming together. Yesod is really the force of bonding and connection, where all of the above midos are coming into reality, being bonded and connection. Okay. Now, the inner quality is emet. What's really interesting here is that this is the moment of truth in this sphera, where you say, I'm really going to do it. Now, the fact that it's emet is very interesting. You see that under that it says that it's Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik got called Tzadik in the event with the wife of Potiphar. She wanted him to do something, and she was pushing him to do something, and he was actually tempted. Really. That's how she got a hold of his garment, because he was close enough to be tempted. It says he looked up, and he saw the image of his father. So look up above Yesod, which is Yosef, and what do you see right above it? Tiferet, which has Yaakov. He looked up, and he saw his father, and that was his moment of truth. He thought, I could go through with this. And remember, this is representing the organ of the bris. And he says, you know what? My father doesn't want me to do this. My father in heaven doesn't want me to do this. I am pulling back. And he didn't do it, and was called tzaddik for this reason. Now, what's really interesting is that when we are working on this quality, and we are all the forces are ready to go forward, sometimes we realize it's not the truth. And if it's not the truth, we have to pull back and say no. And that comes in this place. Because this is the place where it's either going to be a real yes, we're going forward, or we realize it's not. You know how that happens sometimes on a simple something. You say, I'm going to visit my mother. This is all great. I know this week there's going to be a vacation in school. I can go, and it's a good week for her. I'm ready. I'm about to hit the button that says I'm buying this ticket. And I'm just looking at my calendar, and I realize, whoops, the vacation is the following week, not this week. So you pull back in your Yesod and say, just a second, call your mother. Mommy, is it okay if I come the following week? Because I just looked at my calendar. She says, sure, that's fine too. And now you can go forward. because Yesod has to have that truth where we're going forward because we know it's the truth. And this is the power to connect, because we're about to connect into reality. Malchus is like Shabbos, and in this particular year, Malchus is Shabbos when we're counting the Omer, which is so harmonious and beautiful. So Malchut is the place of expression where it's actually going to go down. Whatever we've been working on here is going to go down into thought, word, and deed. But what is the experience here? So we know that the word Malchut means kingship. And we also know that when we talk about Shabbos, we say Shabbos Malkasa. We talk about the Shekhinah, which is God's feminine indwelling presence. So Malchus is expressed here. And if you look at the top, you'll see where it says Keter at the top is reflected in kingship on the bottom. So when what Hashem wants above is going to be expressed below, it actually comes all the way down in this. But it's so interesting because we're talking about a real king here. This is epitomized by David. A king has responsibility. You have to make it happen. So here there is a devotion, there's a responsibility to the created realm, to the people, to the family. That's why the woman is like Shabbos. She has her family, she has her home, this is her kingdom, and she needs to reign and make sure that things really happen there in a good way in Malchus. But if you'll look, this is another one of these counterintuitive moments. The inner quality is shiflut, which is lowliness. Lowliness, shiflut, means you're here and you have the responsibility, but you don't feel it in an egoful way. Now, David once said that the reason that he merited to be king is because he knows who the real king is. That's the inner feeling of shiflut. So I wanted to tell you that I had an experience of shiflut one time that was particularly interesting. Remember I was telling you about having the trust that when you raise children, that you just take one step at a time and Hashem will help you to bring it through. So I remember one standing at the chuppah for one of our children. And at the chuppah, you are wearing your best. You're wearing a gown, and you're wearing beautiful jewelry, and my shetel was up in an updo, you know, and your makeup that somebody does for you. You are dressed like a queen. And there I was standing at the chuppah, and the feeling I had was, wow, Hashem, you did this. You did this. Because that's what shiflut is. Standing there in Malchut, doing your responsibility, and recognizing that Hashem is the one who does it. Because, okay, so we do give them food every day, and we help them with their homework, and we take them to the dentist, and we do all the things that we do. And with every single thing that we do, Hashem is the one that's really helping us to accomplish it. And what's so fascinating is that that is the sign of how well we've done the project. If at the end of the project you say, wow, did I do a good job? Whoops, there's still a little Mitzrayim there. Because that's the ego. I did quite a job is a lot of ego. But when we get to the end of the job and say, Baruch Hashem, like when we come back from visiting the mother, we really visited the mother. There was the mitzvah there. We went through all the steps and really made it happen. We say, Baruch Hashem, that was such a wonderful visit. Thank you, Hashem. This is what it has to be, that we come all the way through, thank you, Hashem. And then what happens is that what we're doing is actually being experienced in the world. So you could see that. Let's just spend a minute or two talking about how they inter-include. Okay. So, for example, let's take Gevura Shebenetzach. Gevura is holding back, but when we're saying Shebenetzach, it means the second one is the week we're working on. Chesed Shebenetzach, Gevura Shebenetzach. What's Gevura Shebenetzach? Netzach, so first we have to look at the big quality that we're working. Netzach is endurance, determination, making things happen, going forward. Gevura Shebenetzach would be where we see that we need to hold back, have boundaries in order to go forward and accomplish. For example, if I want to go someplace and do something, I might have to say, no, now is not a time to read this book. Now is not a time to call somebody. Now is not a time to, whatever is a distraction, it's not the time for it, because I have to go forward with Netzach, so I have to hold back with Gevura in order to accomplish that. So you'll see that in each one, we're working on the main quality, but which, when we're saying the something of it, that something is how we are developing this major quality. On the last day, which is day 49, it's Malchus Shebamalchus. Remember, we said it could be the feet or what you're standing on or the mouth. The feet means that we've brought it all the way through, brought whatever is the godly impulses, whatever it is that we want to accomplish, all the way through to the bottom of our feet. Or it's what we're standing on, because it's the connection to bringing it out into the world. So we're actually on planet Earth bringing it out to make it happen. The mouth, here it says David, but another way is Rachel. Rachel is also gets this place of Malchut because it's thought, word, and deed. So it's speech where it's actually being expressed and in a feminine way. So in Malchus Shebamalchus, which is on day 49, we stand, like as I was saying, you know, with that example of standing at the chuppah. We're standing on the day before Shavuos, which this time is going to be a Shabbos, Malchus Shebamalchus on Shabbos. And we're going to be standing there really ready for Hashem to come down on the mountain. On day 50, which is, how do we count day 50? By going into Yontif. When we go into Yontif, it's not about us anymore. It's Matan Torah, that Hashem is giving. We are ready to receive, and Hashem gives. And this is what happens, that it's not about us anymore. It's about Hashem and receiving Hashem. So I want to bless each and every one of us that we should really count Sfiras HaOmer, recognize that we are, remember the definition is of freedom is the ability to continually transcend, and each of these steps is a step in continually transcending, and that we should use each of these steps to do our action in the world in a better way to make this a godly world. And we should receive Hashem and the Torah, and we should live in Mashiach now. If anybody has any questions, Baruch Hashem, clear. Okay. Good fach, good chodesh.